Welcome to The Mountain Gardener with your host, Ken Lane. Gardening can be challenging, but with Ken's tips, tricks, and local advice, you'll reap huge rewards. Now welcome your host, Ken Lane.
And welcome to this week's edition of The Mountain Gardener. This is your host, Ken Lane, here every week talking about the landscapes of northern Arizona. And this has been an interesting spring, to say the least. I can't remember ever. I mean, I've been gardening in the mountains since, well, I can't say how long because that might put an age on me, but it's been a lot of decades. I can't remember a wet, cold, hail, frost, snowy, wet, cold May like this. I can't wait till it's warm. So it looks like we're in that pattern where we finally dry out. I mean, the pattern should be we get moisture through March, middle of April. Then it dries out through May and June. July 4th, the monsoons come and the humidity comes up. The lightning storms start and the rain starts again. And it rains through September. That is the cycle. It's always been that way. But the funny thing about averages, so in the Central Highlands area, that's the Prescott area. I mean, you folks down in Sedona, a little different. The folks up in Flag, a little different. White Mountains, a little different. Kingman, a little different. But here in this area, the zone that I know, the last frost day is Mother's Day. And so we always use that as a demarcation line to start planting all of our summer plants. You can plant a lot of things before that, but they have to be able to take snow and cold and the moisture, that kind of stuff. That's kale and, you know, the leafy things. The pansies are spectacular this year. I can't believe how glorious they are. Unbelievable. But they love the cold. They don't like summer. They like the cold. They like spring. They like everything about spring, but not the... So we always planted pansies and kales before Mother's Day. And after Mother's Day, we planted tomatoes and zinnias and, you know, geraniums, that kind of stuff. Well, this year, that average didn't play out. The problem with the average is this is 100 year of data. 100 years. It's Mother's Day is the average last frost. But the last frost has never actually been on Mother's Day. It's always been the end of April or the end of May. But the average is about here. Well, we're on that other, the pendulum swung the other way this year. But it looks like we're going to warm up. It's going to dry out. It'll make it easier to garden. You can make a lot more mistakes coming up. So this is a good time to be planting, especially your bigger things like the junipers, the spruce, the pine, the fir, the cypress, the cedars. They're all just starting to grow. Usually they would pop out and be, you know, already 6-8 inches long. They're just now starting. It's a great time to be putting those big evergreens in because right after they flush their new growth, they flush a whole set of new roots. And so you put those in the ground, you get a more established plant and faster growth by the end of the year. It's a great time to be planting fruit trees, shade trees. It's going to be, it doesn't seem like it now, but in 4 weeks, you're going to wish you'd planted your shade tree in that right spot because it's going to get in the high 80s and 90s. It's going to. The North Country does that. And so, you know how we are. Prescottonians, once it reaches 90, 91, we're like melting. It's so hot. Oh, my God. I can't believe how hot it can be. Oh, I'm dying. The Phoenix folks that have their home up here going, this is paradise. That's why we have a second home up in the mountains. So you just get this, you get used to the climate that you live in. And so my wife Lisa has been in heaven this week, just been chilly. The windows are open and it's like I'm freezing, going, where's the other blanket? And she's going, I love the chill of the air. I like the hot. I want it to be 80s and 90s. That's my zone. And a lot of your plants are that way. The desert willows finally leafed out this week. That's a desert summer lover. The vitex. We have some vitex in our chase tree. We've got a buddy of mine grows these down in Tucson. So they're about 2-3 weeks ahead of us. And so he's growing my vitex for me. Just brought them up. Full bloom. Glorious. They're taller than you and I in full, glorious blue flowers covering them. They're just beautiful. Well, they've been sitting, suffering at the farm for, I should have had these a month ago in full bloom. They just came up the hill. So grapes are just waking up. My personal grapes, they still look a little weak. I mean, not many leaves. But once we get into the 80s, they will start taking off with these big, long tendrils. They'll start to wake up and thrive. My poor mimosas. They were starting to leaf out, and that hail came 2-3 weeks ago, took all the leaves. They had to restart, and now they're starting to, the little tufts at the very end have some green, and that's it. If you've got some plants that has no sign of life, by now, that plant is officially, you just got to call it dead. It's not coming back. So you just kind of, here's another one. My tomatoes took a hit. My cantaloupe got decimated, just obliterated. Cucumbers obliterated by that hail. And I fertilized them with the Flower Power 54. It's a fancy fertilizer I put together myself. I have faith in it. I know it's going to work. But I gave it a week, 10 days, and I went, that's not growing. We're not growing fast enough. So I pulled those beat up plants. I mean, they were down to the nubs. And I've replaced them. I just said, I replaced them with some bigger plants. Be careful that you don't commit too much to those old beat up plants that were frozen or frosted or beat up by hail. Don't wait till the end of June before you finally decide to start over. Make the call, make the gutsy call early, or you'll be caught behind the eight ball and you won't be able to catch up. The mountains of Arizona, the season is short enough. You don't want to be 4 or 6 weeks delayed, or you'll get back to the back end of this, and you'll be loaded up with cucumbers. The melons will be just looking so good, but not quite ripe, and that frost is coming. You know, Halloween is about when the frost usually will start. With our first frost is always Halloween, and our last frost is usually Mother's Day. That's most of the mountains. Now, you folks up in the higher elevation, Highland Pines and Groom Creek and Williams and Flagstaff, okay, that's compressed. You folks in the next elevation down, you know, Cordis Junction, Cottonwood, Camp Verde, Sedona, okay, maybe you open that up a little bit. But on average, we're within 2 weeks of those dates, all of us. All of us are in this boat together. None of us are in that Phoenix desert area. Just I'm telling you. I took one of my tomatoes out. It looks so pathetic. When that is not it, you're not going to be ugly in my yard. I don't care if you produce or not. You have to be pretty. And then I'm not waiting for you to figure out whether you're going to be pretty or not, much less produce. So I took out a small thing and I put in, we just had these big cachet pots of tomatoes. They have tomatoes on them already. I went, now that's a score. I like that. So I just popped that one out. And I put the new, I just took it out of the cachet pot, it's got a prefabbed a tomato cage on it. I said, nope, not going to grow in that. And we're in my big fancy pot. Fump. And I started over. And now I'm even 3 weeks ahead of where I was before I planted before that hail. So just my advice to you now is, not as a garden center owner, I'm not trying to sell you. I'm just telling you, the experience has been you can wait too long to swap out those damaged plants, especially basil, certain things, eggplant. Certain things are really sensitive. Tomatillos are really sensitive to this cold, winter, snowy, haily kind of stuff. And if you wait for them to recover, if they recover, you won't have time to really harvest very much. Better to start over. And then those things that really are showing no leaves, they could be small leaves. But they should have some green on. I mean, it's June. They should have something on them. If they don't, what happened is that cold back in March, not the cold, it was that snow, the wet, the cold, the gooey soil, they literally rotted there in the gardens, in the landscape. They just sat there under 2 feet of snow for 2 weeks, and then the ground was wet, soggy wet for 2 weeks, and that plant literally rotted to death, months ago, and now you're seeing that damage now. So you got to, at some point, you got to make the call, and we are seeing, my crepe myrtles took in the shorts. No, that's a terrible thing to say, but they got beat up really bad. Certain things got really beat up, just hard on them. And they were very established in my gardens. But that's the advice. We got a lot in store for you. Let's have Lisa come in with your Q&A sections right after this.
You've been listening to The Mountain Gardener with Ken Lane, owner of Waters Garden Center in Prescott. Join him every week for timely garden advice right for the gardens. Visit Ken where he can be found throughout the week at Waters Garden Center in Prescott. Hi, Waters with the plants of the week and our gold dust rosemary.
You're guaranteed to be the only gardener in the neighborhood with this new variety rosemary in gilded edges of gold.
Striking when spilling over raised beds and pots.
Loves the heat generated against driveways and bright courtyards.
Same zesty culinary delight in a colorful twist for under $10.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, where people who love new culinary herbs, they love to shop.
Ouch! Aw, man, another rock! Hi, I'm Rusty. You know, the shovel you're destroying trying to dig that hole? Sure, I get it. You got these beautiful plants at Waters Garden Center. Waters asked if they could plant them for you, but no. You had to do it yourself, even though they would plant, deliver, and guarantee your plants for 2 years. I hope I don't end up like that old pickaxe. Ouch! Prevent yard tool abuse. Waters Garden Center. They plant, deliver, and guarantee.
You've been listening to Ken Lane, the Mountain Gardener. Green thumbs learned while working in the Family Garden Center. Now welcome back to the Mountain Gardener.
And welcome back to the Mountain Gardener, your host Ken Lane and the fabulous Lisa Waters Lane coming in the studio for your garden questions. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you.
Nice to have you back.
Oh yeah, every week. Same time, same hour, same.
For 20 years. For 32 years, I've been. So anyway, before we get started with the questions, I just have one quick shout out. The Prescott Area Women's Connection. They met at St. Michael's Hotel this last, when was that, Tuesday. And just like 100 women all dressed up to the nines. I was totally not dressed accordingly. At least I did not have my shovel and boots on. I put long sleeve, long pants, and nice shoes. But they were very gracious, put on a talk on container gardening, how great container designs. I just went through and got a couple baskets full of, here's three plants go together. Here's what you're looking for. Here's three plants go together. Here's what you're looking for. And they just ate it up.
Well, good.
They were eating out of the palm of my hands.
I'll bet.
Nah, in my head only. They were very gracious.
Those ladies love
you. They were very happy and engaged. So yeah. they were very, very, very nice. So I'd come back anytime. Mm-hmm. Thanks for having me. But this is all about gardening questions. And it seems like our basil took it. I mean, just it's cold. Gosh. Some things got pelted and just didn't recover. I'm sure we have a lot of questions like that or just stuff. Things are different in the garden this
It's been week. A very unusual May. We've had a lot more rain. We've had cold weather right up to the end of May. It's been a lot of years since we've had something like that.
And I'm ready for that not to happen again. So I'm just perfectly fine having it warm to warmer is my preferred temperature. I'd rather sweat than shiver any day.
Yeah, you're not a cool weather guy.
I'm not. I mean,
you're kind
blankets
of the lizard out on the rock trying to find the sun.
I like a fireplace, a hot tub, and hot asphalt. I
mean, had to turn the fireplace on.
I did. What is that? I did walk the gardens, and they look pretty good, though. There's a couple losses, and then while you weren't looking, I just replaced things. It looks terrible. Look how much it's grown.
You've done that to me before.
We're doing a radio show. I have to brag to everyone over the airwaves about, I just picked my first tomato, and it was so good. The only reason we do that is we didn't start by seed. We started by seed in March. We've been growing in greenhouses, and now I've got 3-foot tomatoes here at the garden center waiting to go in the ground. Your gardens, and more importantly, mine, ours. Mm-hmm. So we've actually got peppers on. I've got my first black creme tomato about to come off. You know, small, medium, you know, heirloom tomato. It's sitting there going.
You know, Vincent's going to get it.
I know. Shit. He's been rummaging the strawberry patch for like a week now because he's finding fruit. He just goes in and nuzzles the whole thing.
It's his strawberry patch.
He loves
strawberries. Don't get a single one.
No, he loves strawberries. It's his favorite. He could give up all bacon, all meat, all treats, and only eat strawberries. he'd be in heaven. In heaven, in Vincent's world, it'll be nothing but strawberries. Anyway.
But that actually is a lot of the questions we've gotten this week is, you know, their veggies got beat up by hail. Then we had some frost. Some places around town had frost. And Sandy, her question was, do I have time to restart? Or is it like, that's it for this year?
It kind of just blew over that at the beginning of the show. But really, Sandy, you don't have time to start by seed, I don't think. First of all, the season is late by a month. Mm-hmm. Then you started back in April into March, you know, started your seed, got them going, put them in the ground because you thought the normal thing would happen. And then the hail came or the frost came, whatever happened in your garden. And now you got to start right 100% from scratch. You don't have 2 months. Mm-hmm. You can't wait that long. So it's probably better to go to your local garden center and get a new start. They started, like we started our vegetables weeks ago. The bigger tomatoes, months ago. So you kind of want to commit to already started plants. Don't go by seed. With that being said, there are a few things you could start from seed, like beans.
Yeah.
You could probably start those by seed. Pumpkins. You could probably start those by seed. Cucumbers. Mm-hmm. But I would not start tomatoes and eggplant and some of these others. There's certain things. That's one. Come ask us and we can tell you which ones. Or someone that's already started theirs by seed, they probably already intuitively know which ones. Yeah. So probably, I mean, what we're doing, we started by seed a lot. Mm-hmm. It got beat up. And now we're starting by plant from the back greenhouse, or from Waters. Mm-hmm. And we're upsizing. I'm going, okay, we tried. We failed. Oh, well, that's guarding the mountains. Upsize. We're just going to totally leapfrog over where we would have been even. So okay. And for the few plants that are left, that's a good way to go. Same with flowers, same with perennials, same with whatever. That's what we're going to do.
Okay. Sounds good. Pam saw a tree. She'd like to know what it was. It had really dark green leaves and had pink blossoms that looked like a wisteria type blossom. She wants to know what it is and does it do well in this area?
You know, I posted a picture of that on our Facebook post. That's one, folks, if you're a Facebooker, you should follow Waters Garden Center just because this kind of stuff, as we see it, we post it. Mm-hmm. And so I posted a purple robe locust. That's what that is. It's in bloom all around town. Mm-hmm. We had friends down in Skull Valley. Theirs are glorious, just glorious. It'll grow at all elevations, from deserts to the highest elevations. And you can count on it every May to have these big wisteria-type pinky red flowers. Mm-hmm. It's related to the New Mexico privet, the wild locust, mm-hmm. New Mexico locust, excuse me. It's related to that, but it's not that, because this grows in a tree, whereas New Mexico locust grows as a shrub, and it has thorns the size of, like, I think they nailed Jesus to the cross with these nails, the terrible things.
Right.
And they grab you as you go by, but very hardy. So locusts are very tough, but it's purple robe locust. Yes, you can have one. Yes, you can plant it now. Yes, it will grow and be a big tree, not a shrub, up to about 35 feet tall, about 20 feet wide, beautiful shade tree, fast growing, takes our wind. And the leaves are small enough where they'll just blow away in the fall. Just, you don't ever have to rake them up. They just go wherever they go, wherever leaves blow to, your neighbors, wherever, that's where they go. So,
does it turn a fall color?
It's just gold. Yellow. It's a gold. Okay. Not just yellow, it's aspen gold.
Aspen gold.
Okay. Well, Karen would like to know what happened to her ornamental plum. She put in a new ornamental plum this year, bloomed out, was looking very nice. She noticed the other day there's little holes in all the leaves, but she wasn't finding an insect.
Oh, okay.
What could be causing that?
It's one of two things. One, the most likely, it's hail damage. So hail came down. If she's in that hail zone, so half of all the listeners out there have been beat up by hail. The other half are going, what hail? I didn't see any hail. And that's the way storms are in the mountains. Well, if hail hit that, bruised the leaves, it'll rot out and it's just bruised. It'll have a hole. Or there is a disease, a leaf spot called shot holes. It looks like you put a shotgun, and you shot it through your tree and the pellets put holes through it. It looks like that. And she could be describing that as well. And so the little fungus comes in and eats the sugars in the leaf, and that part just drops out. Whether it's bruised and drops out or a fungus comes and drops out, you get this hole effect. The way you get past that is fertilize it with all-purpose plant food, and it'll just grow its way out. Because that disease, leaf spot, is so prevalent on all pitted fruits, any prunus family, that's apricots, nectarines, peaches, the purple leaf plum, any of those, anything cherries. If it has a fruit, cherries, and are prone to shot hole, you can spray it with Revitalize. It's a all organic, all natural spray you put on the foliage, and then it keeps it from spreading. It locks it in place and won't allow that spore, that disease, to continue, so all the new growth comes out. If you put the fertilizer on it, new growth, and you put the Revitalize on, it will, all the new growth coming out of it will be clean. The new growth, if it has a hole in it, it's just going to just enjoy it. It's just a little tiny hole. Don't look too close. It'll be fine. But that's kind of how you get it. And then as we get warm, that'll just stop because it likes the cool, long, cold springs, which is what we've had. So it could be both of those at the same time, actually. Ken and Lisa Lane, The Mountain Gardeners. Be right back.
You're listening to Ken Lane, a.k.a. The Mountain Gardener. Ken can be found throughout the week in Prescott at Waters Garden Center. Listen each week as he answers timely garden questions unique to mountain gardens. Hi, Lisa here with the plants of the week and our dwarf blue plumbago.
If you can't grow blue plumbago, it's time to move to the city.
This perennial ground cover is quick to spread and puts up with a lot of abuse from dry soil to neglect.
The peacock blue flowers are held wide and very prominent against the small bronzy green foliage.
Grows in any kind of garden, all for $11.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, where people who love easy perennials, they love to shop.
Gee, my flowers just bloom too much.
Said no one, ever. Hi, this is Kennett Waters. We had a crazy winter and everyone's ready for flowers in the garden.
Waters Flower Power is made specifically for Arizona that gives flowers that extra boost to burst into bloom.
It's an energy kick in the plants.
Get ready for roses that rule, peppers that pop, and tomatoes that triumph.
More power to the flowers with Flower Power at Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
You've been listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Join the conversation every week as he answers timely garden questions. Email Ken a question directly from your phone to his desktop through the web at watersgardencenter.com. That's Waters with two T's, gardencenter.com. Now welcome back your host, Ken Lane.
I had started out the show with it's a good time to plant your bigger plants, especially evergreens. Now this has been the week, I don't know what brought that up, but this has been the week to help a lot of customers with screens, windbreaks, privacy, that kind of stuff. And so a couple ideas for you. One seems to be confusing for folks. How many do I need? And this is really easy math. What you do is you look at whatever plant. If it's an Italian cypress, they only get 4 feet wide. If it's an arborvitae, it gets 6 feet wide. If it's an Arizona cypress, it gets 20 feet wide. Whatever the width is showing on that tag, whatever it says the mature height is, divide that by two, and that's your planting space. If you want plants to have an overlapping pattern where they give you this solid green wall up above head height or privacy screen, that's the recommendation. I'm just quoting the book for you. So you space accordingly. So you go, I need 20 feet, or I've got 100 feet or longer. You just take a look at that, divide it by two, and do that. The other little trick, if you're trying to stretch your budget in the landscape, you want to go farther. Now, obviously, everyone wants to go the biggest size possible all the way down the line, but not everyone can spend that kind of money. If you, a little trick I've used over the years to help folks, I'll buy the biggest one and I'll plop that down right where the offensive view is. That is from the patio or the deck or the bedroom or the living room out to where the neighbors seem to hang out all the time. I'll put the biggest one right there. Then on either side, I'll put some smaller ones, and I'm not committed to everyone to be the same size. I've got biggest ones right here, so I have instant screening. Then off here, I've got more time for those things to grow and fill out. And I quickly bought more small things to fill out, to finish off the rest of that screen. Another little trick, typically evergreens are a little slower growing. That's why you want to plant them now, because you can catch up and get some more growth and some more roots. More roots, the more top growth you're going to get, the faster it's going to fill in. Timing is your friend. And so planting evergreen, big spruce, big pine, big cypress, cedars now will help you in the long run fill in faster. If you just want really fast growth, the deciduous trees grow 2, 3, 4 times as fast as an evergreen. Deciduous are those plants that shed their leaves. That would be aspens and birch and sycamores and redbuds and maples. What you can do is you can plant some of those strategically in the line, because typically you're not out on the deck in the winter. Let's face it, you're indoors by the fireplace sipping tea, baking cookies. But out during now, it's going to be really nice coming into summer. This is when we spend our outdoor time at the grill, on the new furniture, just enjoying the outdoors. You can plop one of those fast-growing, red buds or birch right in there, and then they grow in and fill in, and they're leafy while you're out there. But in the winter, they're going to lose their leaves, but it gets the evergreens time to finally fill in. So you kind of have your cake and eat it too. I've actually way overplanted personally. Of course, I own a garden center, but this worked for me. I put some really fast growing cottonwoods and willows and things that grow really fast, fill in raywood ash. They just fill in fast. And I put them way too close. And I know that I will cut some of those down 5 years out. I'm going to commit. I want to have my secret garden right now, and I'm willing to spend $50, $60, $100 right now to have overplanting, and I will purposely thin those or cull them out later. Now that's not for everyone, but that has worked. And if you got real fast growing things, they typically are less expensive than the slower growing. They've been at the farm. I mean, a 6, 7, 8 foot spruce, they've been at the farm for 12 years. I mean, they're going to cost more than a Raywood Ash that's been out there for 3 years. It just has a different perspective. How many times it need to be touched, and how long has the farmer had to farm it and grow it? And just, it's going to cost more the more time they have into it. So the slower grower things, they're going to cost more. That just makes sense, right? So you can use those to your advantage sometimes. It's just some things, screening plants. Now's a great time to plant them. Look at junipers, give them. I know all of you turned your ears off and went, "Oh, I have allergies." Not the little ornamental. You don't have allergies to the ornamental junipers. First of all, they've been bred. The pollen's been bred out of them. They're tiny compared to those huge natives. And quite honestly, most of you, you're surrounded by millions of acres of junipers. If you have a juniper allergy, planting one little Spartan juniper out there, or Wichita Blue, or a Skyrocket juniper that's only grows 3 feet wide and 10 feet tall, it fits the specs, that naturalizes so well, doesn't really put pollen on. You can kind of stay away from it because it's not that big. It's not going to give you allergies. That's not the one that's going to be your issue. It's going to be the big boys surrounding your property. It's going to give you the allergies. That's a great choice for screening plants. Atlas cedar, tremendous choice. Pine trees, not just a ponderosa. Don't use that as a privacy. Use Austrian pine. Big, thick, long-needled pine that holds its foliage right to the ground. Dense. You will not see through that. Those are all really good choices. When you come into at least Waters Garden Center, many garden centers are set up this way. Just ask for where is the screening section? Because it's such a popular theme. We'll just go right over here. Here's your choices. And you got your tall shrubs and your big evergreens. Be right back.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for timely garden advice right for higher elevations. Guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season. In a new place, it's difficult to know who to trust, how to get help at the house, and which nursery will simply do what they say they'll do.
At Waters Garden Center, we're here to help, in the landscape at least.
Our team of plant ambassadors know your neighborhood. The plants that add color, increase privacy, and add fragrance and beauty.
And we can show you exactly how to plant locally. Or we have teams to do all the work for you.
We are Ken and Lisa Lane, and we guarantee our plants will live up to every promise here at Waters Garden Center. Hi, Waters with the plants of the week and our tri-colored society garlic.
Dainty lilac flowers hover above the fragrant grassy foliage.
New spring leaves are tinged in pink, adding wonderful texture and colors to the gardens.
The garlic fragrance repels javelina, deer, and rabbits, loves blistering hot sun, takes our wind, and a lot of perennial for just $14.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, where people who love pretty society garlic, they love to shop.
You're listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Mountain gardening is very rewarding, with a few of Ken's tips, tricks, and garden shortcuts sure to turn your thumbs even greener. Now welcome back to The Mountain Gardener.
And we are back with Lisa Waters Lane and her segment, totally about Lisa and her fabulous husband. Well, and your garden advice, your tips, your tricks, you're just a downright good person.
Oh,
but thanks. You're equally as good a gardener.
Well,
how's that work?
I try.
Plus, you're pretty. Plus, I'd marry you again. Plus, you're fertile. You got us three grandkids.
No, you're not allowed to say that on the radio.
We have four kids, so three grandkids.
Yes,
and we love them all.
Yes, we do. We love hanging with them. Just got back from hanging with
unique
them.
Airway. Unique creature.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what to do with that.
Anyway, what do you got for today?
I'm blown away. I'm just stunned.
I know, me too. I stunned myself.
Anyways, it's hard to believe after the past weeks that we've had, but it is going to get hot.
No.
Yes.
80 degrees is not hot. It's perfect.
It is perfect, but it's going to get a lot hotter than that, and you know it.
Okay.
And all of us have spots in our yards that are blistering hot.
That's true. Perfect. By the asphalt and rocks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. There are some hot spots.
We have a spot where our driveway and the patio meets, and it doesn't get any shade by anything. It's just kind of out there. And it's a really, really hard spot to put really pretty things in sometimes because it just bakes. And a lot of people here have those, especially with the amount of rock that we have in our yards nowadays. Yeah. You know, there are some spots where you need some plants that can just take the heat but still look good.
Well, what kind of plants would those be, Lisa?
Well, let me tell you. Most of the ones I have are perennials, so that means they're going to come back every year and be bigger and better every year. And then I threw a few annuals in at the end. But the number one that I like is a Gallardia, also known as blanket flower. A lot of people know it by that name. We have a gorgeous one in called Celebration. Celebration is much more red than most do. Your other ones have oranges and yellows.
Yellows and reds. It's kind of, that's it. Orange, red, orange and gold.
Right.
Kind of boring. Arizona colors.
Those aren't boring.
Not boring, but anything besides. We've sold thousands of those. I want something new.
Well, Celebration is a really nice red. And a lot of reds tend to fade, especially in our sun and our heat. This one doesn't. It really does keep its true color. And the plant is a nice mounded plant. Sometimes some Gallardias get real leggy and then they start, you start like falling apart on you almost. This one won't do that. It's a really, really nice one.
Don't have to stake them. Mm-mm. Full sun, low mounding. And Gallardia is one of those, or blanket flower, animals don't eat it. Javelina, deer, rabbit, that's got a defensive mechanism within the structure of that plant that defends itself. It just has little spiny hairs all over it. Goes, don't bother me. I'll mess with you. I'll mess with you and your kids. Don't eat my flowers. The seed heads are kind of spiky, so it's a good. Every yard should have at least one Gallardia, but that new Celebration, that red, is super.
Right.
Super new, super neat, super cool.
And it'll bloom all summer long.
Really well.
You do got to deadhead it a little bit, but hey, it's worth it.
That's that one too. If you're a bird gardener. Mm-hmm. If you let those flowers go to seed in the fall of the year, it'll hold those seed right through the winter, and it'll be a food source for your foraging type of seed lovers in the gardens, and then they'll repopulate. They'll come up in other areas mm-hmm. of the garden. It's kind right. of a wild. It's a wildflower.
Yeah, definitely. Another one that really takes a hot spot is the Miss Huff Lantana. Now, Miss Huff is a more of an upright lantana. It's not the low spreading, but it is a perennial one, and it definitely likes those really hot spots in the yard. Really pretty kind of orange-yellow blossom to it. There again, will continue to bloom all summer long until we get that nice hard frost.
Yeah, and that's one, it's the, really the only, that's the only lantana that will grow up here at elevation, right? Is it?
There's another okay. Mary Jane or something like that, and that one's more yellow. But I like the orange because it really stands out. It's yeah, just bright.
It is bright. The Mary Jane's more of a white, creamy,
okay, yeah.
pink, mm-hmm. creamy color.
Right.
That yellow, gold, and the orange, oh, it's really pretty. It's classic lantana color that comes back year after year for you in a mountain landscape.
Definitely.
What's and that good down to, zero or minus 10 or something?
I believe zero.
Zero, okay.
Maybe a little colder. I can't remember.
I'll go I know look. It's at least zero. I want to know.
The cool. other thing about that, too, again, extremely animal resistant.
True.
Bunnies, deer, javelina, they just ignore it.
Surround it by rock, put it right on the path that the javelina herd goes by three times a day, and they're not going to bother. They don't like that leathery, too textured right. taste mm-hmm. of lantana. They might dig it up, just throw it to the side, going, it's in my way. Move
yeah,
aside.
They would.
But they won't actually bother eating it and digesting it.
Right, right. Sandpaper verbena. This is another one that's probably one of my favorites. It's a low-growing verbena, has a purple flower on it. Crazy drought hardy once it's established. There used to be some growing down at one of the strip malls that had like been ignored for years,
yeah.
and it kept coming up and looking really good. Animal resistant. Just a really good one for those really yeah, tough spots.
A native.
In the garden.
It's a true native. Arizona native. Grows wild. Low growing. You know where that would look really good at our house is out by the mailbox.
Oh, yeah.
Where the I'm kind of tired of the Gara.
The Gara.
I mean, it's pretty.
Gets in
it's
my way
great.
When I try to get to the mailbox.
But, you know, it's, sometimes you just want to change it up, dig yeah. it up, throw it away. Try a new. That verbena mm-hmm. would be great by the mailbox.
That's a good idea.
It's so hot and I have no irrigation. So maybe spit on it every once in a while and
yeah.
it'll thrive.
When I go to the mailbox, I'll spit on it.
There you go.
Yarrow is another one. And I know a lot of people are used to just the native one that we've had here, which is yellow.
Yarrow.
But they have some really new, pretty colors. They have a Desert Eve red one that is very, very striking, very red. Vintage Rose. There's a Paprika, Terracotta. They even came out with a new white one.
Oh, that's neat. White's interesting.
Yeah.
What color is the foliage on that? Is it silver
it's
like all the other?
Yeah, silvery gray, white? Green
oh.
one. Mm-hmm. But really pretty plant, animal resistant, and very drought hardy.
Very, very drought hardy. That's one that reseeds, comes up, and just naturalizes so easily. You'll never have just one yarrow.
Right.
You always get a yard full or grouping. It kind of spreads out. Spreads and mounds.
Right. Yeah. So another one I was kind of hesitant to mention, but I think I'm going to go ahead and mention it.
Do it. Live on the edge, girl. Live on the edge.
It can be a weed if you let it get out of control.
Russian sage.
Well, that too, but Mexican primrose.
Oh, well, sure.
It makes a great ground cover.
True.
If you're trying to do a hillside or a wash or something where you just want something that kind of reseeds itself and keeps on going, that would definitely do it. It has a really pretty pink flower to it.
Well, it's the size of a silver dollar or mm-hmm, so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know where we use that so successfully? Our house when we lived in Prescott mm-hmm. Valley. You know, that out by the road, the driveway, they've got that easement, the drainage ditch. It's a ditch.
Yeah.
It's ugly. Some people rock it. Some people don't. We just planted it mm-hmm. with Mexican primrose, and it was this beautiful wild patch of pink flowers that everyone admired, and we hardly cared for it.
Right.
That's a great place to use it mm-hmm. on a hillside for soil retention. There's so many uses for Mexican primrose. Mm-hmm. Just don't put it in the middle of your flower bed, or it will take over.
You'll have a whole flower
yeah,
bed.
Another Mexican primrose.
And, of course, rosemary. I think that plant is totally underutilized in our area. It's just so tough. There's upright, there's creeping ground covers, pretty purple blossoms in the spring and in the fall. definitely likes the heat.
What about some annuals? You said you were going to go with some of those. What are? Give me two at least.
We have a called a New Day Yellow Gazania.
Oh, that's pretty. Yeah,
gazanias have those big, bright flowers, and boy, do they love the sun. And if they get enough sun, they'll just keep blooming, blooming, blooming. And they're nice because they don't get overly big. And pretty in pots, pretty in the ground. Definitely a good one.
Kind of reminds me of a sunflower almost. It's a big, not quite as big, but darn close to, and more
blooms
flowers.
A lot more. Yeah. Bougainvillea, we're getting the Barbara Corsten, which is that really bright red one if you want more of a vining. And then, of course, Portulaca.
Oh, that's a classic. There's a new hardy variety of Portulaca or ice plant.
Oh, ice plant.
Out there, yeah. I kind of look at it because it's the same thing. I can't tell.
No, it's not.
I'm a man. Looks the same. Blooms the same.
Not even the same family.
Okay. Succulents do so well in sun. I'm sure we got a greenhouse. We have greenhouses filled with sunny plants. Come check it out. Talk to Lisa and the crew on the sunny perennials in your yard. Be right back with Ken and Lisa Lane and the Mountain Gardeners.
Look for more tips, tricks, and garden shortcuts through Ken's website. Podcast the show, read his weekly garden column, or follow him on Facebook and Instagram at watersgardencenter.com. That's Waters with two T's, gardencenter.com.
Hi, Lisa here with the plants of the week and our Arizona Gold Euonymus.
An excellent choice for colored hedges and as tough as they come.
This evergreen displays bold gold, head-high foliage that grows even thicker when sheared.
A single shrub makes a bold statement for just $27, but in rows, they make excellent visual and sound barriers.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, where people who love bold gold hedges, they love to shop.
You're the area with your dream home on the inside, but surrounded by boring? A castle surrounded by rock is just so bland. But we can help.
At Waters, we have a team of plant experts ready to dress up and decorate even the most boring of landscapes with something fresh, new, and evergreen.
Plus, we deliver and plant for you.
Designer plants with the experts to help you beautify your new abode.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott.
Welcome to the Mountain Gardener with Ken Lane. Gardening in the mountains is different. Listen to Ken's tips, tricks, and garden shortcuts guaranteed to make your gardens more beautiful than ever this year. Now for better advice that works locally, welcome your host, Ken Lane.
We are coming into a transition time. The lilacs have been in full bloom. Forsythias have been bloomed out for a month and a half. Flowering quince. You can plant those things, but they're not going to bloom for you until next spring. In fact, you plant them now so that you set the stage for next spring's growth. And you're trying to plant four seasons, your spring, summer, fall, winter evergreens. And I put a fifth season called perennial season. June is perennial season. This is when most of the perennials are in full color. You don't have to read some little tag. You can actually go in and touch and smell and to look at. You've got fully mature perennials. It's usually the month of June till about mid-July or so. Vegetables, that's going to be a hard one. You need to grab them while you can because the crops are really, they have not liked this weather either. The greenhouses are full, but they aren't growing. They're chilled. The cloud cover is affecting the crop rotation, how fast things are growing. This is a tremendous time as we transition into summer bloomers. This is when your crepe myrtles, they're coming into the garden center now and they are loaded with buds. Your rose of Sharon, that's one of the only hardy hibiscus. I've got tree form. I've got shrub form. I've got reds and blues and whites and all signs. Lots of choices. You're at the front edge of this summer bloom cycle where you get the best choice. You get the most options, the most variety by being at the front end, by shopping the front. When the crops just land, let's face it, there's 10% of the crops that look over the top. They're just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they're that pretty. There's 10% that are just dogs. The branch got broken off, something happened, they're not quite as full, the structure isn't quite as nice, and the other 80% just look good. They're feeling just fine. If you can be at that front edge, you can get the cream of the crop. That's what you really want. This is your time when you really want to pick those things off. And some of them are weigelia, are in full bloom. This is a shade-loving plant with dark, like wine-colored foliage, with bright fluorescent pink. I mean, like electricity pink flowers. And it blooms from now through the growing season. It's an amazing plant. You can grow it in containers underneath that overhang by the patio on the north side. It is an amazing plant. This is when you get the best choice. Hydrangeas would be in that same genre. Gardenias, same. The gardenias are flushing like crazy. They're growing like crazy. They'll flush, they'll double in size, and then they will start setting all those wonderfully fragrant flowers. This is your time when you really want to plant those. You get a lot of options because we're transitioning from spring bloomers to summer bloomers. This is when they really start to really show off. This is when you want to pick them and plant them. And right now, it looks like we're going to be on a warming trend. Looks like we're going to be in those 80s for a while, which is just the best. That's the best for everyone, the gardener and the gardens. They just love to be in those 80s. You know, 70s, 80s, that range, that's like the ideal mountain temperature. Once you get in the 90s, they'll grow just even faster, actually. But now you need to be more dependent on the watering, so you got to get that right. If you go on that vacation, you come back, and the water system didn't cycle for, you know, all week or all 2 weeks or all 3 weeks, you know, the plants might suffer. If you're there to monitor, boy, they will really push lots of new growth. So it's now is your kind of sweet spot. And probably that'll be the way for the next 3-4 weeks. It'll just be this really nice. I don't want to go from, you know, 60 degree to 90 just like that. I'd like to go from 60 to 70, 80 and hang in there for a while. And the season just keeps going and my tomatoes just grow like crazy, start to set fruit, and then we might get a little hot. Then the monsoons come. That is a good garden cycle. So that's pretty normal for us in the mountains. And usually that monsoonal pattern will show up in July sometime. Usually around July 4th, you'll see the clouds building. You folks on the White Mountains, the New Mexico border, you see it first. Comes up out of Texas, you know, Mexico up to Texas, then New Mexico slowly feeds over to the White Mountains, and it comes up to middle of the state, and then it gets the rest of us. That's how you can almost watch it on the weather maps. And so you can tell when the monsoons are coming and when the rains will be here. I'll let you know. I'll probably predict it 7-10 days beforehand. The weatherman will too, so they'll let you know. Then that first rain will come and things will actually start growing even faster because nothing beats native rain, natural rain. It's the perfect balance of pH. More than likely in the mountains of Arizona, we're going to get some lightning where the rain will actually be charged with a real mild fertilizer, nitrogen source, which lightning kind of burns the air and then releases some carbon, which comes into the water, which that's why the lichen goes crazy on the rocks and the trees during a rainstorm. They're just fertilized in water. They just glow all of a sudden. It's just magical. And so does your garden when that happens. So you're in a good spot. I would say, to go back to the point, now's a good time for those summer blooming type of plants. That'd be everything from bear grass for your natives, cacti, prickly pears. They bloom, they like the summer heat. Desert willows, chaste tree or vitex, smoke bush. These are all summer lovers, super drought hardy, and none of them have any. They've got zero interest in spring. They're rather late to wake up, and then all of a sudden they just ignite with new growth. Second we start to hit 80s, whoa, they just go, oh, this is my season, let's do it. Whew, and they just come out all at once with foliage, and right after that, flowers. I can tell you, the Rose of Sharon, there's two types of hibiscus that really thrive in the mountains of Arizona. They're very hardy. They're good down to 20, 30 degrees, minus 30 degrees, like negative. Rose of Sharon, which is actually a hibiscus. When you look at the Latin name, it's hibiscus. It has a flower on it that's about 4 to 5 inches across, usually two-toned. It's got a dark center with a lighter outer, and it just covers with hundreds, literally hundreds and hundreds of flowers. That is a very good choice for hibiscus. This is for you folks from the deserts, the tropics, the more mild climates. You're used to those huge tropical hibiscus. Those do not grow up here, but the Rose of Sharon does. And there's one that does grow up here called Mashuto's hibiscus. Mashuto. Mashuto hibiscus is a true perennial hibiscus. This thing will grow up 4 or 5 feet tall all in 1 year. And it has these flowers that are bigger than your hand. They are enormous, typically in very bright pinks and pure like oxblood reds, very bright colors. I mean, they are awe-inspiring. Well, they'll bloom all summer long. They love the summer. They're just starting to set flowers now. In fact, I think a few of them were in the nursery, had a few flowers, but quite honestly, they're like candy to gardeners. The second they bloom, they go, what is that? It's a Mashuto hibiscus. I'll take two. Foomp, they go on a shopping cart. That's one that come winter, it will actually die back right to the ground, just like an echinacea or a galardia or like any of your true perennial flowers. It does that. Only this is on steroids. It's on a grand scale. And so, but it puts on that ginormous flower. Those are the only two types of hibiscus that truly thrive in the mountains at higher elevation. That'd be from Cordis Junction and higher, from Kirkland and higher, from Kingman and higher, from Payson and higher. It's going to be at 4,000 foot level and higher. That's where they're going to thrive because we do get true chilled in winter. We have the chilling hours. It gets some snow. And we might vary on what elevation, how much, but we all get chilled and we all get moisture and we all have more than Phoenix or Tucson or Palm Springs or a desert, true desert location does. So you want varieties that can handle that warm summers, chill, very chilly, cold winters. That's the secret to the right kind of plants. Your summer bloomers. You want crepe myrtles or some that are hardier than others. You want the ones that can take the cold. You want the hibiscus, the smoke bush. There's different varieties. The rosemary is a great plant to plant in summer, but there's some that are better than others. A big family of plants, and half of them don't grow at high elevations. You want to do a little bit of homework so you plant the right one, or talk to the right people, or talk to a neighbor, see what the varieties are, know which garden center you're using, and what type of plants, why they chose that rosemary over another. Be right back.
You're listening to local garden expert Ken Lane, the owner of Waters Garden Center. He can be found throughout the week at Waters Garden Center, located in Prescott, 1815 Iron Springs Road. Thanks for tuning in to The Mountain Gardener.
Hi, Ken here with the plants of the week and our timeless beauty, desert willow.
Large, fragrant burgundy and lavender flowers appear in big, bold clusters all summer long.
This unusual water selection is prized for its long bloom time without setting the usual seed pods.
The flowers are highly attracted to hummingbirds, 100% Arizona native, and just $49.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, where people who love their native plants to bloom, they love to shop. Hi, Ken here with the plants of the week and our Purple Magic Crepe Myrtle.
You'll be wowed by the sheer amount and intensity of the purple blossoms that shadow this impressive bush.
Leaves emerge as bold red foliage in spring and then turn bright green just as the purple flowers erupt in summer.
It blooms twice, first in summer, then again in autumn. And at $39, you can have more than one in the gardens.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, where people who love to garden, they love to shop.
Ouch! Aw, man, another rock! Hi, I'm Rusty. You know, the shovel you're destroying trying to dig that hole? Sure, I get it. You got these beautiful plants at Waters Garden Center. Waters asked if they could plant them for you, but no. You had to do it yourself, even though they would plant, deliver, and guarantee your plants for 2 years. I hope I don't end up like that old pickaxe. Ouch! Prevent yard tool abuse. Waters Garden Center. They plant, deliver, and guarantee.
You've tuned in to The Mountain Gardener with local garden expert Ken Lane. Join him each week as he answers timely garden questions that are sure to make a difference in your gardens. Now welcome your host, Ken Lane.
Now I have a little insider tip that I think will help you. I was just mentioning summer bloomers. This is anytime you plant anything, you'll need three things when you plant. Mulch, some compost, add to that soil. Enriches it, enlivens it, attracts the worms, the mycorrhizal fungi, all the beneficials. You want to add some fertilizer because your food has none. Your soil has no food in it, no nutritional value whatsoever. So we made a 744 all-purpose, all-natural food that you sprinkle on top. Then you water it in with root ingrowth, or root stimulates, or rooting hormone. That will encourage the new root hairs to go out into the surrounding soil. That's the three things. For me, my name's Ken. We're friends. We're just neighbors talking across the back fence. And here's a little extra thing that I do that really takes the edge off and gets them really starting to establish, no matter how hot it gets, as this summer season starts, they really thrive. I'll kind of salt and pepper the bottom of that planting hole with Aqua Boost crystals. These are polymers that swell up and hold their weight, more than their weight, in water. And then we've infused Aqua Boost. These are something we make here at Waters Garden Center. We've infused the crystals with mycorrhizal fungi. So we're trying to front load or supercharge your soil with beneficials that encourage, kind of tickle the feet of plants so they start to root out. But I'll sprinkle a little bit of this every time I plant in the bottom of the hole, and then I'll plant my plants and backfill, and I'll sprinkle the all-purpose food, and I water it in with root and grow. But that little secret really makes the plants thrive. I don't care whether it's a tomato, a new spruce tree, a big pine tree, a new aspen cluster, a set of birch, or a new apple tree. It doesn't matter. A new summer-blooming shrub. A rose, like the top summer. It's a little Aqua Boost in the bottom of the hole. And it will take off. Plus, it takes the edge off so that you have more fudge factor. It puts the benefit of an error in your court instead of the plant dying's court. So sometimes it dies, it got stressed, just went, I'm out. I don't want to even try. But if you give it a little bit extra, it goes, I'm out. Oh, wait a minute. I don't want to die. I think, yeah, I can make it. I'll go for it. And that's the difference in a gardener, someone that says they've got brown thumbs. We go over this and more in our summer garden classes. We're going to start back up. So Saturday, no, we're going to start Friday. I'm going to start switching off Friday, Saturday, Friday, Saturday, just to see. So Friday afternoon, June 14th at 3:30 in the afternoon, we've got gardening for newcomers. If you're new to the area, you got a Friday afternoon off, you want to come learn all the insider secrets like the Aqua Boost, how to plant, what the frost seasons are, what grows when, come to that class. It's free. It'll be at the back greenhouse, just right there. You'll be hang out with other really cool people that love big hats and gardening floral gloves and love pruners by their side. We're all gardeners. The following Saturday, that's the 22nd at 9:30. That Saturday 9:30, blooms that impress all that summer, the perennials to the summer plants. What we've been talking about here, we'll go over all of those and more. We'll have touch and feel. Here's what they are and why. The following Friday, June 28th, is animal-resistant plants. What's eating your garden? We can show you how to get rid of them, how to repel them, which plants are more resistant than others. That entire list and more are available at watersgardencenter.com. Please come as my guest, my friend, as a patron. We just want you to be a better gardener. And so we never charge for the classes. Look at the entire series at watersgardencenter.com. Look at there's a button right in the very front that says classes. You can't miss it. It'll hit you in the forehead. Or Facebook under events. And you Facebookers, you know where events tab is. Look at that. They're all listed for the entire summer, and they're all free. Till next week, Lisa and I love hanging out here at Waters Garden Center and talking with friends, especially fans of the show.
In a new place, it's difficult to know who to trust, how to get help at the house, and which nursery will simply do what they say they'll do.
At Waters Garden Center, we're here to help, in the landscape at least.
Our team of plant ambassadors know your neighborhood, the plants that add color, increase privacy, and add fragrance and beauty.
And we can show you exactly how to plant locally, or we have teams to do all the work for you.
We are Ken and Lisa Lane, and we guarantee our plants will live up to every promise here at Waters Garden Center.
Gee, my flowers just bloom too much,
said no one ever. Hi, this is Kenneth Waters. We had a crazy winter and everyone's ready for flowers in the garden.
Waters Flower Power is made specifically for Arizona that gives flowers that extra boost to burst into bloom.
It's an energy kick in the plants.
Get ready for roses that rule, peppers that pop, and tomatoes that triumph.
More power to the flowers with Flower Power at Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
If you want a more fruitful garden, increase success in your landscape that just feels better, then tune in every week to The Mountain Gardener. Years of tips, tricks, and garden shortcuts are guaranteed to make your gardens nicer than ever. Listen to this podcast or read Ken's weekly garden column by visiting watersgardencenter.com. That's Waters with two T's, gardencenter.com. Thanks for tuning in.